ओम ज्ञानतिमरन्दस्य ज्ञानन्दनसलक्रिया चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं साक्तं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपाकदामयं ददाति स्वापदन्तिकं श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्दस्य द्वैतगदाधर शिवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. I'd like to say a few words in general on first initiation and then also a little bit on the second initiation, because I have one candidate who is taking first initiation today and five who are taking second. The first initiation is known to be an initiation in mantra. We are particularly receiving the Maha Mantra. Of course, we had already chanted the Maha Mantra before, but now we are receiving that Maha Mantra with the mercy of the spiritual master who's praying for the success of that chanting. That prayer, those blessings, obviously are very important. Furthermore, we are making a commitment at the time of initiation, a lifetime commitment, and with that we are truly saying, Krishna, I'm yours. So that is a very significant time. In the Bhagavad Gita we have the verse Bhavanam Jamanamante Jnanavamam Prapadyante Vasudeva Savamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha, that it is a rare person who is, after many, many births, coming to that point where you say, Krishna is everything, or Krishna is the priority in my life. So initiation stands for that Krishna becomes the priority. So that is wonderful. That is actually the greatest thing. After so many lifetimes being distracted by so many secondary things, now the most wonderful, ultimately the only wonderful objective has become the priority in our life. So that it's a glorious moment. It's a blissful moment. It's a happy moment. It's a time when we become finally relieved from being misguided, and we are taking our steps on the spiritual path, which is a blissful path. It is a path that brings us more and more auspiciousness with every step that we take on that path. So in this way, it is indeed a very important and significant moment. There are many blessings, blessings of the senior Vaishnavas who are present, blessings of all the Vaishnavas who are present, because every Vaishnava carries so many blessings and can give us blessings in that way. We are fortunate, Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, Bhakti Marg Maharaj, and I also see Bhakti Ashray Vaishnav Maharaj, who's here sitting a little in the back, but his blessings are fully present. So we are very glad that he's also gracing this occasion. Then also the presence of Krishna is there in various forms, his deity forms, and also many of Krishna's great devotees, the acharyas, their names will be invoked by my mantra. All these blessings are there. So these blessings are what we depend on. These initiations, whether first or second, depend on how much we are ready to seek blessings. That is truly the key, seeking blessings. Jai Jagannath. It's that attitude. The attitude of always again and again seeking for blessings that makes it possible for the mercy to flow towards towards us. It's when we are proud. It's when we are proud that problems arise, because then we can no longer take shelter of good instruction. So this is truly the key, and it's the key that applies both, again, to first and second initiation. In second initiation, we may have a little more external reason to become proud. Now I'm senior. Truly it is stated that I was reading the story of Trinavarta, and who stole Krishna and took Krishna up in the air, and Krishna became very heavy and brought him down. And then afterwards, the residents of Vrindavan were thinking that so many inauspicious influences are there, somehow or other. We don't know for what impious acts this is happening, but the best thing to do is to counteract this by blessings, by blessings of superior personalities. Whatever imperfections there are due to our karma, that can be relieved by the blessings of pure personalities. And they invited some brahmanas to chant mantras, and these brahmanas, they were very dedicated, they were free from pride, they were truthful, they never spoke a lie, they were dedicated in following the scriptures, they were respectful to their seniors, and it said the blessings of such brahmanas never go in vain. So that is what we that is the mentality that we are looking at, a humble mentality, a mentality of taking shelter. None of us are great, powerful bhakti yogis. None of us are so sure that we can live up to these great vows. Somehow or other, those who take first initiation are going to make a big vow for life. And how can we actually promise this for life? Are you sure you're going to last? How do you know? How do we know? We don't, because we can't do this on our own strength. But if we are always looking to shelter of superiors, shelter of the Lord, shelter of his devotees, shelter of the spiritual master or spiritual masters, then strength will come from there. It's not that we are born with spiritual strength. Spiritual strength is mercy. Maybe an exceptional personality appears in this world full of spiritual strength, but we, the ordinary conditioned soul, are not born with spiritual strength. We are, by definition, weak. By inclination, we are weak. No matter how impressive we may appear, we are weak. And it is that understanding of our weakness that can give us access to spiritual strength, which comes from external sources, the Supreme Lord and his devotees. So that is is my primary point. Then I'd like to say that these vows are an opportunity given to us. It is not the initiation itself that is a magic touch. There is certainly such an element in the initiation that we are getting greatly blessed today, but more so is that we take it to heart, and that we take these vows and try to the best of our ability to live up to their meaning. And if we do so, then the vows will bring us very many wonderful fruits, very amazing fruits in our life. Then the vows will become alive. But if we are not so serious about following these vows, then they'll become a punishment. And we just, either we break them and the vows will continue to beat our heart, or we struggle to follow, but we're not really investing. So one must invest. If one chants 16 rounds, then it means really quality. We must make time. We must recommit. Just like Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, when he was speaking about the 10 offenses to be avoided in the matter of chanting the holy name, was making clear it doesn't just apply to first initiates, but that it applies to all. And that also the second initiates once again recommit to avoiding, and Maharaj is even saying, yes, even himself, and certainly speaking for us also. So at any stage, one recommits. So the second initiates are also recommitting today to their vows of the first initiation, like with more quality now. It is about quality. The second initiation, sometimes I say that before we take initiation, we already have to live for some time with the standards of the initiation. So before you take first initiation, you have to chant 16 rounds, follow the four principles, and so on for some time, then you can be initiated. So in the same way, after the first initiation, we can already begin to prepare for the second initiation. In the second initiation, it is about qualities. It is about developing the qualities of the mode of goodness. Srila Prabhupada makes an important point in the purports to the Bhagavad Gita, and that is that he says that we should associate with the mode of goodness rather than trying to be in the mode of goodness, associate with the mode of goodness. When I noticed that for the first time, it really impressed me, because I was thinking, how am I ever going to be in the mode of goodness? You know, I am not in the mode of goodness. It's difficult to be in the mode of goodness. Trying to be in goodness is difficult. But associating with the mode of goodness, that is practical. That is something we can do. So as much as possible, we must bring the mode of goodness into our life. And that goes for all, for those who take first initiation and for those who take second, especially. Now it becomes very, very much a duty. Now it's not just I should try for this. No, now it is I should. It's my very duty to be situated at least in the mode of goodness. Ultimately, a Vaishnava goes beyond the mode of goodness to the transcendental platform. But the mode of goodness is parallel to the spiritual standards. It follows many principles that also apply in spiritual life. The only difference is that a Brahmana is acting only out of knowledge and a Vaishnava acts out of love, right? But the same principles, because the principles of purity are the principles that are revealed in the scripture. And purity is ultimately are those activities that are pleasing to Krishna. Therefore we can understand that there is a parallel between the activities of the Brahmana who acts out of knowledge and the activities of the devotee who acts out of a desire to please Krishna. So these two are similar and parallel. We are following, we're trying to develop qualities. Samo damastapo sancham xantir arjivam evicha jnanam vijnanamastakyam brahma karma svabhavajam. Sama, we're trying to be equipoised, not afflicted by the three modes of material nature that create so many circumstances and make us depressed or make us elated. No, equipoised. We don't get too excited about material gain, knowing that it's temporary. We don't get too much disturbed by material suffering, knowing that it's temporary. In this way, equipoised. Dharma means sense-controlled. The senses of the devotee are known, the senses are compared to poisonous snakes. But the senses of the devotee, it said the fangs are broken. They're broken. So that poison of degrading material activity can no longer affect the devotee, because the devotee is chanting Hare Krishna and is regularly staying in contact with transcendental literature. And in this way, the devotee is very sure to keep himself safe on the spiritual platform. Tapas, some austerity is required. It basically means that we do our duty in devotional service. Krishna, whatever is needed for Krishna, that we will do. That we will do. That is our tapas. Our tapas is therefore, we follow four regulative principles. Our tapas is for Krishna. We will rise early. For Krishna, we will study scripture. For Krishna, we will chant. For Krishna, we will always be prepared to do service. That is our tapas. It is said ksantir or ksama, forgiveness, is the natural quality of the Brahmana. Because the Brahmana is very tolerant and has to give higher knowledge to everyone. And it's not that everyone is perfectly ready to receive such knowledge, but somehow or other, a Brahmana is trying to patiently give that knowledge anyway. So forgiveness is at the center of the mood of a Brahminical person, or of a devotee in general. Devotee must be ready to forgive. Arjavam means simplicity, and is not only meaning simplicity externally, but especially means simplicity of heart. It means that we do not have a facade. It means that when you say, what is your secret, that we can just simply tell it, because we have no sinful activities to hide. So that is again a devotee. So there are many noble qualities in the devotee. A devotee must be knowledgeable, and a devotee must be realized. So all these qualities are described throughout scripture. This verse that I quoted is from the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and a good verse to memorize, so that gradually we can take shelter of knowledge. So devotees are not only taking shelter of the holy name, not only taking shelter of regulative principles, but they're taking shelter of transcendental knowledge. So they live with the scriptures. Therefore we gradually learn some verses so that these verses become they're always with us, they're accompanying us and giving us support and shelter. We serve the Vaishnavas in this way. In this way, we progress. And in this way, spiritual life gets more and more wonderful. So, I'll end now, and Bhakti Mark Swami will continue. Thank you very much.